This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack.
If there's some brands that you just feel like you're comparing your work to some of those big makeup artists, and sometimes you're feeling like, oh, a bit creatively stunted, sometimes it's okay to put it on mute just so that you can be inspired by something other than other people's work.
Hello and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, makeup artist, and founder of St. Jack Cosmetics. Whoa, it feels like such a long time since I recorded one of these episodes. You guys get to hear them every fortnight, but oftentimes because of my schedule and other people's schedules, I record them in pretty close succession. So it's been around about 3 weeks since I was with the microphone. So feels good to be back. Before we jump into today's episode, I just thought I would give you the cutest update. So, cutest thing ever, coolest thing ever. The other week, I was out on Chapel Street in Melbourne. Lol, if you know, you know. I was out for drinks. It was my cousin's hen's party, and someone at the bar recognized me because of the podcast. This has literally never happened before in my life that I have been like out and about and someone's been like, oh my God. And you know what? Maybe she's listening, but she was a makeup artist from Melbourne that I'd never met before. I'd never heard of before. And she loved the show. And the reason why I'm even bringing it up is because that means that through all of your shares on Instagram stories and you guys sharing it like with your friends and telling your friends and other artists about it, it means that the word is literally spreading out so far that even complete strangers at a bar will pull me aside to tell me that they love the show. Like, it feels really special. So thank you so much for sharing and supporting. So please keep doing that because that was awesome. Also, I want to let you know about an amazing giveaway before I get stuck in that St. Jack is a part of for Christmas. So if you're listening to this episode, like around about the time it goes live or before December 23rd, AKA Christmas Eve Eve, which, by the way, is my favorite day of the year because it's like got all the festivities and like Christmas spirit of the day without any of the pressure. That's the day we're announcing the winner. So if you're listening to it before then, you can enter the giveaway. It features St. Jack, Home Beauty, the amazing primer that we talked to Hillary about in the episode a few weeks ago, a whole bunch of lipsticks from Lululips, which are absolutely a kit essential, as well as Hava Beauty lashes and the 2-end kit, amazing kit bags and palettes. And in perfect segue to today's episode, Tennille J and her new brush collection. So if you want to win all of that stuff, and honestly, sis, why wouldn't you? Head to St. Jack's Instagram and you can check that out. It's one of those super easy tag a friend, blah, blah, blah competitions. So the Instagram account is at by St. Jack. That's BY St. Jack. Now, look, you already know who we're talking to. And I feel like in the Australian makeup world, Tennille really needs no introduction. It's kind of like being in Hollywood and like mentioning Meryl. It's like, I don't even need to say her surname. You just know who you're talking about. In this chat, we're going to talk about how she climbed the ranks through Napoleon back in the day when Napoleon was like the king of Australian makeup, finding the courage to eventually go out on her own. And there's lots of little pearls of wisdom in there about, you know, how to land a job assisting someone like Tennille and how to build your social media presence. So I hope you love it. I've been going on for far too long for an intro, so that's enough from me. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Tennille J. Tennille, welcome to Behind the Brush.
Hello.
Hello, mate. It is a pleasure to have you. Just to paint the picture for everyone listening, it's a Thursday night. It's hailing. It's pretty hectic down here in Melbourne.
And we are looking so hot right now.
Both everything of us. You've ever seen on our Instagrams of people looking good, that's exactly what we look like right now. And that's the story. We're sticking to it. It's so nice to talk to you. It's actually really nice. It's been a really big week for you too. It's just nice to like switch off and we'll have a chat and we'll have a good time. We love it. So we'll jump right in. First thing I want to ask you, I ask everyone who comes on, Tennille, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a singer. That's what I wanted to be.
Yes. Like a singer-songwriter or like musical theatre?
A little bit of mix of both. Yeah, I wanted to be a singer-songwriter. And then I loved drama too. So I would have loved to get into musical theater, but probably didn't have the confidence to do it. So,
But did you ever pretend when you were a kid that you'd won an Oscar?
Yes. And I was always singing with like a hairbrush or something like that, you know, like very dramatic. I think Part of Your World was probably my song as I was when I was growing up. Yeah.
And you've had the red hair before. You've had the red hair. Yeah, the picture.
That's what inspired me. I had to dress up for my little niece's birthday party as a Disney princess. So I sprayed my hair red and I was like, this is a vibe. So
it was such a vibe.
And it was like right when COVID, it was kind of COVID-y or whatever. And I was like, you know what, YOLO, let's just dye red permanently. And then, yeah, it took a while to get that out, but
it was worth it. Whatever.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was your COVID hair. It's fine.
Yeah, it was. And I do miss it, actually. It was so fun. But then it looked really bad when I wasn't wearing makeup or just feeling disheveled, you know?
Yeah, there is some hair that you need makeup for.
Yeah, and the roots start to grow out. And then Rob's, my husband's got this big truck thing. So I just felt, I feel now like I shouldn't be here.
Oh, man, it's so good. So, does any part of you still hold a candle that you're going to become the next Adele? Or?
No. I just sing now to my children, but they actually prefer Rob's voice more than mine.
Oh, so, that's gotta hurt.
He sings loud. He doesn't sing on key, but they love the loudness. Maybe they'll appreciate the tone later, you know?
Sure. You'll just whip out some Sun Time and it'll be great.
Yeah,
exactly. Perfect. Well, let's wind it all the way back. And I'm going to get you to take me back to your school days. We all love to reflect on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is where I have heard that you got into makeup, and that's pretty normal, you know, girls and makeup and teens and MAC. Talk to me about it. What happened?
So, look, probably growing up, what sparked my makeup, I guess, obsession was really out of insecurity. I think that I looked up to this girl. She was my best friend's sister. And she one day just said to me, I think I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I'd never thought about makeup. I was always into art, loved being creative. But then she had said to me, oh, you'd look so much better with makeup. And I was like, and I just never really thought about it until that moment. Then it was on. I just never left the house without makeup, and I started to get a really bad relationship with it. I would wear it to bed. I wouldn't wear it out anywhere. Mum and dad would never see me without it. Like, I just wouldn't leave the house without my makeup on. And back then, this was 20 years ago, it was like what was available to a 13-year-old.
What was it called? The Dream Matte Mousse?
It was Makeup of Australia, which I don't think is even around anymore. But that was like, it was like this orange foundation. I was wearing stars on my face, and I don't know whether you remember, but do you remember those? They used to put it in CDs, like the eyeshadows.
You'd have lipsticks
on one side.
And you'd get those weird little like disposable applicators. Yeah.
Loved it. That was my icy blue eyeshadow. And so I used to just have fun, and, you know, it was pretty wild. I wish I had photos from back then, but we didn't have phones or anything like that. It was just not like what it was today. So, yeah, started my obsession then, and I started going to this private school and kept getting in trouble for wearing makeup, but I didn't want to give it up. So I kept getting called down to the office, but then formed a really great relationship with my deputy principal, because I could be down there every week and I just refused to take it off. I'd refuse. And then he ended up writing me my referral for my first job.
Really?
Yeah. So I auditioned for Napoleon Purtis back then. And yeah, I had to get a reference. I was like, who better than my principal?
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. So he wrote me one, be like, yep, couldn't take it off her. She's very passionate about makeup. So I used his reference and yes, got myself a job. Hadn't done like a makeup course or anything. I hadn't done that. but just loved it and wanted to get my foot in the door. So started working there for a few hours a week because I was working at a bank on the side, or bank full time straight out of school. And then worked on the side doing makeup for years, and then eventually went full time and dabbled in other jobs.
Yeah. So when you started working then in Napoleon, and I love how you say you auditioned for Napoleon. Is that a Napoleon term, or is that just you're describing it?
Yeah, I didn't do a song and dance, nothing like that. You know, like put that thing back where it came from. That's Monsters, Inc. Sorry, it's a kid movie. But it wasn't anything like that. But it was like we had to bring in a model, and then you'd have to do a makeup using the makeup. So had really no idea. I just did my friend's makeup at that point.
Did you see it as like a long-term career? Like when you did that original audition and then you got that job, did you know at that point that this could possibly be your career, or was it just like, I love makeup, this makes sense?
Yeah, it was funny because I hadn't really thought about it as like a career at that point. I just thought, oh, this would be cool. Like I like makeup, like I really do. And I had looked at the courses, but at the time, I mean, I was earning what, $300 a week, working 6 days a week. And I just couldn't afford the courses that were available at that time. So I had kind of put it on the back burner at that point. I was like, I don't think I'll be able to afford it. It was funny actually, because I got the audition from my cousin who used to go get her makeup done there, and they were looking for casual stuff. So my cousin's really good at makeup. She hasn't done a course, but hey, you know, and then they asked me to come in. So then I was like, righto. And then yeah, got the job. And yeah, it wasn't till I kind of started working there that I was like, I really like this. So yeah, I was just keen to learn. So
what was it like then joining a company like that? Because I feel like Napoleon at the time was really like the height of artistry that we had in the country. It was Napoleon and Mac. It was like, that's where you went. That was the thing. He was on like Australia's Next Top Model. Like, was
huge.
Yeah, he was like part of that makeup team.
Yeah.
It was a real big thing. So what was it like then, I suppose, like from your confidence perspective, joining a team like that as a kid who's self-taught? Like, what was that like?
It's so funny because, you know, in the last 20 years, the makeup industry has just completely changed. So it's so different now to what it was then. And back then, I kind of knew who Napoleon was, like, but I just put my resume and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. I hadn't ever used the makeup before. So I just knew that they looked cool. So I was like, I'll give it a crack. It was like he was a star, and all the stars.
He was, though. He was a real like public figure then.
It was huge. I just remember my trainer the first week that I was there. Her name's Michelle. She's so lovely. She was an older lady. She even had, even in her own house, like a Napoleon room, like an ode to him.
The shrine.
She had, like, yeah, she did. And I remember, wow, like, and everyone was kind of just really excited. But he was so passionate about makeup. So it made selling the makeup really easy, because I think then as well, it was all about the customer's needs and having fun and being creative. And that was so great as a young makeup artist to kind of go in there, and you'd have like looks that you'd have to wear, you know, you'd have to always play with different colors and kind of stretch yourself a little bit. So it was really exciting. And there was times at Napoleon that was hard, but then I look at all those years where it was so incredible, making just some wonderful friends, and you just can't take away those experiences that you'll have in the day-to-day with your clients, seeing so many different face shapes, faces, all that sort of stuff. Like those years, I strongly suggest for young makeup artists to try and get into retail, because I think that it's a really great place to learn, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of funny because it really throws you in the deep end in a way, because you cannot control like who's coming in the door in a retail environment, and you've just got to be prepared. And sometimes it really like throws you out of your comfort zone, but that's part of it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And so you can't pick your customer, you know, you can't pick who you allow to walk into your door. You are literally dealing with all sorts of people and all sorts of personalities. You start to really learn how to work with different people and personality types, because some people can be really like, I don't want your help. And that I always find those sort of people a real challenge. I want to be like, well, I'm going to make you love me by the end of this, you know? And converts you to a $500 sale.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. You know, so, but yeah, those years, it was amazing. It was really awe-inspiring back then. Mm. So
you've just recommended that people try and go out and get a job in retail if they want to get started. Do you think that they would have like a similar experience now, like given what the landscape of makeup is now?
I mean, it's just hard. If you're confident to put yourself out there and if you want to get into the industry of shoots and that sort of thing, I'd probably say you'd want to go assist makeup artists on shoots. That's a totally different ball game.
Mm.
But if you're wanting to do event makeup, wedding makeup, you're struggling to build your books, I think starting in retail is really good. And that's especially if you don't have much experience dealing with a wide range of people. Retail is really good because, first of all, you're getting paid anyway, but you're playing with product, you're learning about product, you're learning what people need. And I think that's the biggest thing is, as a young makeup artist, I remember you'd always just put something on someone's skin that looked good on you. But, you know, what looks good on me looks totally different to someone else. But having that training from a company was so great because I ended up doing a makeup course years later with Napoleon. They put me through one because I was getting into management. But all those years doing it and really practicing it, because I'm very hands-on, you know, that to me was way more educational than, say, a quick course.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. Yeah. I mean, no matter how you get it, nothing compares to like real, tangible experience.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nothing prepares you, you know, you just got to get out there. You've got to do it one way or another. You just mentioned management and Napoleon, and I know it was a while ago, but I'm just curious like how you kind of progressed within that company and what that landscape was like and what you were doing there as you moved through.
So back then there wasn't really the option. You could be an editorial makeup artist, but that was a whole nother world, like to cross over into commercial work. So I thought the only way that I could get up in makeup was to be in management. I loved selling. I found it really easy to sell makeup. I felt like it's always been about what the customer needs. I never wanted to push them to buy something that they don't need. So I think that approach always helped me to sell makeup because I find it easy because I love makeup. So and they need it. So, you know, what happened was I kind of started in all different stores, just casually working around. And then they asked me to come on work for one of their academy stores, which was not making any money. And it was a real big challenge. They're like, do you want to come here? I was like, oh, because I was kind of too IC at another store. I think it was Carindale. And that was like real, you know, that's the place you wanted to be because it was
right.
It was not just a stall in the middle. It had like a back room. So, you know, that was cool.
It had a door.
It had a door. Like I could go out there and have like a little bit of Pepsi Max out there, you know.
Oh, amen. That's what we're about.
That's it. So they asked me to come on and I thought, oh, because I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I was like, you know what? If I'm going to prove myself in this company, I need to do it. So I started working in this academy store, which is in the third level of this building. So there's no walk-ins. There's no one walking in. Oh,
you know what? I think we actually used to have one of these in Melbourne and it was like on level two. And the only other thing around it was like a cinema. It's like, you'd have to know you were going there to go there. There's no foot traffic. Exactly.
There's no foot traffic. There's nothing. Like people are coming in for a reason. So you have to somehow get people to come into your store. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And so I went in and I just started calling every person that had ever been into that store and was like, hey, come in. I'll give you a free makeup lesson. Come in. Wow. I'll give you a free makeup lesson. So then I'd end up booking out my days just with free makeup lessons. So that they'd come in and then I'd end up, you know, showing them a bunch of makeup, teaching them something, and then I'd end up selling them products. So then I ended up building up the store just by booking people in and making appointments. So yeah, I was there for a bit and I probably was one of their top sellers for that store that hadn't made money. And then they got me to go to this other store that was really good. So I was really stoked about that. But then they gave me this other challenging store and I was like, damn it. And that one didn't have a back room. I was like, damn, I want the back room. So I went to another store. It was called Garden City. And again, I had to build that one up. And so I used that same strategy, just getting people in, free booking, come in, and built that store up. They hadn't made budget for a few years and I started getting them to make budget. Yeah, so I started getting in that. Then I left Napoleon for about 6 months. Yeah, I decided to make a move. Went to another company. I won't say the name. It was terrible. So it was a really horrible move.
Fascinated. Going to find out later.
It was a hair company and they were trying to build up their makeup line, but it just wasn't working. I went there. It didn't work out. The product was not it. I couldn't sell it. I just didn't believe in it. So I was like, I can't do this. But then Napoleon asked me to come back and apply for another role, which was called their event makeup stylist, which was travel around Queensland doing makeup workshops in little country towns because they'd have stockers for Napoleon out there. So I would go and host like event makeups, big workshops, teaching women how to do their own makeup out in these small little towns. So I'd drive out 6 hour drives, just with my makeup kit, just teaching makeup. Yeah, it was so good. It was like 3 years that I did that and it was a lot, but it was so rewarding. It was really rewarding.
I feel knowing what you're doing now, it's kind of nice to reflect back on that. And we'll obviously talk more about what's going on at the moment. But yeah, so you were working at Napoleon pretty much ages and then you left when you had your first son. Is that right?
That's right. So I was there for like 9 years and then had always dreamed about freelancing, but always a bit nervous. You know, because you're like, well, you know, will I get clients? I was kind of always doing wedding makeups on the side. And that role that I was in, I didn't have to work Saturdays. So I was able to build up my books while I was working full time. So once I had my son, I was like, I'm going to do it.
Yep. Did it freak you out? Like going from a stable income to kind of just depending on the books, even though you've kind of built them up a bit?
Absolutely. It was terrifying. But I think almost it was like that grace period because I was getting maternity pay. So I had like a switcheroo, like it kind of helped having that overlap a little bit.
We love an honest queen. It obviously makes things a lot easier when you've kind of got like free money coming from
elsewhere. Oh, that's it. Well, I said to Napoleon, I might come back. And then there kind of came a point where I was like, No, not going to go back.
Yeah. What was the transition like going from working for a company to just like full-time, I'm doing this full-time? Did you stress out about being a business owner? Did you know how to be a business owner? Like,
had no idea that taxing was really freaked me out. So, you know, because you're like, oh, yay, money. And then you're like, oh, hang on, half of it's going to the tax man. Great.
And you only realize that usually in June.
A year later, you're like, oh, ouch, that really hurts. I don't get a tax return anymore. That was probably stressful, but at the same time, I think I gave myself a goal at that point. I was like, okay, I want to book myself out two weddings a week. So the first year out, I had booked that by the end of the year. So I just had a goal because then it was like, if I can do two weddings a week, that's enough money to not have to go back to work. So I just worked on that.
So how did you go from two weddings a week to 80 weddings a year? Well, the math is probably roughly the same, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about that.
It's about that. That's crazy. Yeah. That's a lot of brides as well as other jobs like shoots and stuff like that, because really you've carved not a niche necessarily, but like you've got great relationships doing e-commerce, shoots, all that sort of thing. How did that come about?
I think, you know, when I first started freelancing as well, there was a certain look that was really on trend at that time. It was probably more like that cut crease style, you know, which is very,
So when was this? Like
this
would have
been 6 years ago.
Yeah. This is like the real golden era of like the YouTube makeup.
Exactly.
Heavy shit.
Yeah. Heavy makeup. So I probably struggled a little bit because I was like trying to do those looks, which it wasn't really my passion, those sort of looks, but I was like, that's what gets me the jobs, you know, the event makeups. So I was trying to put that out there. And also I was using a proper camera and I probably wasn't getting the makeups that I really liked to do. Everyone was booking me for that style, but that wasn't really the style that I love to do. I love glam, but I probably like a little bit of a softer glam, not everything going on. So then I decided to go, you know what, I really would love to get into shoots, but I'm not getting the shoot work because the makeup look that I'm putting out is very heavy. So then I was like, you know what, I'm going to start putting out some softer glam, some softer looks. And that kind of helped transition and getting me seen. And I think I'd assisted Penny one day and I'd reached out to Emma Chan. And so they started referring me work at that point as well.
Amazing. So it was adjusting your style to be more consistent with what you liked anyway. I personally have not got into the shoot game. I'm more like events, bridal, whatever. Yeah. But for the shoot game, do you think it's really important to kind of do that assisting work and form those relationships?
Absolutely.
To kind of get your foot in the door?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, first of all, that's where the brands are going to see you and they're going to meet you because they want to work with people that they know and they can trust that are not going to, you know, not rock up on the day when you've got so much money on the line. Shoots cost so much money and you can't just, leave them hanging. So that's the biggest thing. And also when you're assisting makeup artists, like, you know, I've had a few times now where my kid's sick, I've been sick, I can't go to the shoot. So who's the first person I call is generally the people that have assisted me because I know that they're reliable. I want to give them a hand out because, you know, they've helped me. They've been there. They haven't expected anything. And seeing them get the jobs is so great too. But I think that's important. And it's because it's not about trying to undercut each other. I think that's really important in this industry that you don't just go, hey, I'll do it cheaper than that person. You know, you want to, it's about, you know, celebrating each other and supporting each other, being respectful. I think that's the biggest thing.
100%. So. I'm curious to know, this is kind of off book now, just curious to know, like hearing you talk about this, what do you look for in an assistant?
I look for someone that will hassle me.
Hassle you?
Because I actually am so, I've got two kids. Now I've got these brushes and the course going. Like I'm really bad at text messages. I'm really bad at emails. So I need someone to be like, hey, where are you tomorrow? Can I come? You know, and not wait for me to be like, hey, you know, I like someone to be like, yeah, where are
initiative.
You? Initiative.
Assertive.
Yeah, assertive. I really respect that because I think it's a really great quality if you're just going to be persistent, you're assertive. I'm probably not the easiest person to work with because I'm a bit flighty like that because I'm looking at my calendar the night before because I'm like, where am I tomorrow?
There
I
am. Oh my God, okay. Just thinking about it is giving me anxiety. Like, sis, I need to fly to Brisbane and sort out your books.
I don't know how I've survived this long, like because I have everything in my head. I don't mind if they triple text me to be like, hey, Tennille, you have a message back. Tell me.
And what do you want from them on set? Like, what's that like?
I think, you know, just again, taking initiative because if you see the brushes aren't clean, give them a clean, a little bit of St. Jack, you know, goes a long way. a little spray over the products, you know, give them a little wipe down, give them a little St. Jack.
This episode isn't even sponsored by St. Jack, but they are.
Oh, you're the owner. Oh. I mean, but, you know, those sort of things where it's like, just sort out my kit. You know, moisturize the model, get your hands in there, you know, probably don't ask too many questions. It's not a makeup lesson, you know, when you're on set, you know, so you can ask questions, but it's
observe
and then ask when we have a moment because the client's watching, we're on their time and it's not a time to extract every bit of info at that point. We can always chat afterwards.
I love it. Well, that's going to be very handy information, I feel, for some people who are really looking to get into that because that's huge, obviously, in Brisbane. I know that a lot of e-com fashion brands are up there, but we've got quite a few down here as well in Melbourne.
And I think even just knowing like a lot of those makeup artists even up here, I know they feel a bit the same with, you know, oftentimes you're kind of looking at your calendar the night before because there's too much going on. So be persistent with those makeup artists that you really want to work with because I think also, you know, you get DMs all the time and it's like the more you pop up, the more you see their face. So that's always a good thing.
I mean, look, this is going to sound so stupid. On the grand scheme of things in terms of followers, I've got like
not many, but even at the moment, like even with St. Jack, I'm struggling like to keep up. I don't know how you guys do it. I can only imagine how many there are in there, and I've got 20 or something in there, and I'm like, oh, it's too much. I'm throwing in the towel. See ya.
So it's a lot, and that's where I have really good spurts where I'm like replying to everyone, and then I get very overwhelmed and I'm like, oh, I can't.
The problem
today
with replying to everyone is that they reply back, and then you get in that whole cycle. It can be really hard. I mean, that's a perfect segue though into talking about the Instagram, because I think, look, there's no such thing as an overnight success. In my memory, because I've been following you ever since I've been into makeup, you have always been to Neil of the hundreds of thousands of followers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I checked before we started recording, you're at 326,000 or so. 300, yeah, that's just a few. What was that like? Like, what was that like building that up? When did you really move the needle, like, of getting to that huge?
Getting to 20K was like the hardest part. That was the hardest number to get to. That was hustle central. I think the biggest thing that actually started getting me some traction was going from a camera to an iPhone camera. That actually, I'm not even kidding, from that moment, that really helped my Instagram. There's something about the iPhone cameras that people relate to much more than a professional shot.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, even just like from what I hear from you and like others, you know, when you put up like a photo from a shoot compared to like a BTS of the makeup just done for a shoot, the engagement is insane, like the difference.
Yeah. As soon as I got an iPhone, thanks Apple, it really did help because your shots are just so much clearer and they're a bit more relatable. But that first 20K was really rough and hard and a hard slog. And then after that, I just hustled. I was just tagging every single brand that I ever used. Back then, it was probably a lot easier. Like, things were going viral a lot faster. And especially when videos started coming in, like, your photos would go viral, but then you started having videos come in. So you just put a little bit of highlight on and that used to do the trick, you know?
So true though. It was just like, that one like 3 second frame or whatever of the highlight. Yeah, just like,
and you're not even, it's just a clean brush, but you're just swiping on the highlight. So that just is what like went viral. So you'd hop on those sort of trends, but now it's just such a different ball game. You've got all these different, I mean, reels, they have helped, but then it has definitely slowed down. I know, speaking to some other people, that especially over 100K, I find once you hit over 100K, 150 to 200K, it gets very slow. It's almost like Instagram cuts you off after that point. Yeah, your engagement goes way down, way down.
So bizarre.
You'd be very surprised because they want you to start paying at that point. Yeah.
I mean, look, it's too late in the day. I'm too primed for an Instagram rant about how it works and how they, Mark Zuckerberg, wants it to work. But anyway, I'll save us all the trouble because I could talk for hours.
Who knows?
Who knows about the algorithm? But you're right. They do push towards making it a paid platform. But you put in a lot of effort in your content. Like, does it ever feel funny, like Instagram or social media is like your second job? Like, it's so much effort. Don't you think that's weird? Like, how your talent and your skill and your career is your artistry, but you have to do that part of it to.
It's so exhausting. And I think even there was a few months there where I just kind of tapped out a little bit. Like, I'd get on stories all the time, but then I kind of got a bit fatigued and I was like, I have nothing to say. And I don't mind being real, but also I think I was a bit fragile at the time. And I was like, so I had to take a bit of a break and just kind of step back a little bit. And yeah, it's funny, even like, because my husband always used to be like, oh, you're always on there. But like, now that, you know, I've started a business, he's like, oh, wow, we really do need Instagram. I was like, I know. And he's like, oh, it's a full-time job. I'm like, I know.
It really is. I mean, like, even this is so funny, but ever since I've had an iPhone, you know, well, you never have your phone at the table, like you never have it during family time. And now it's gotten to the point where between Instagram and TikTok for myself, for the brand, whatever, it's like I'm always on my phone. And it's like, but now finally, like, my family's like, oh, well, Beth's kind of got to do that, you know, it's part of the bread and butter situation, but it's bizarre.
It's what you have to do. It's like, it just depends on what your goal is. You know, if you're getting booked out with weddings left, front and center, and you don't need to do that with Instagram, then who cares? you know, don't bother. But if your goal is to do more commercial work, if it's to get paid content work, then, you know, it's a full-time gig, that one.
I think that's a really important point that you just made. It is about defining what the goal is. I think a lot of us can get caught up in, oh, I've got to post all of this content and do all this stuff. It's like, well, do you have to do an unboxing of a mecha haul that you've just bought yourself? Like, work out the why before you do it.
Exactly. If you are wanting to be the educator, you want to start hosting little workshops or big workshops, then become the educator on Instagram. Don't make it about all this other stuff. Just get your goal in place and then make that your point of difference rather than just thinking you have to be, you know, like all these other makeup artists out there or whoever is out there, you know?
I think it's so important. Do you feel like there are any misconceptions about having like this kind of notoriety or a following of size, yes, that size?
Yeah, I reckon.
Tell me about it.
I reckon people probably think I'm driving a Land, what is an expensive car? I'm driving a Toyota Camry, doll. Okay. There is food on the ground in the car. It's an absolute mess. I've got two children. That car needs an upgrade. My roof is caving in because we've got water damage. I'm desperate for a house makeover. It's not, the numbers don't equate to dollars. It's just definitely not how it is. That would be great if that was dollars in the bank, but that's not what it is, you know? So not everyone that's on social media is actually rolling in it from what you see. That's the other thing, you know, you see all the beautiful pictures. We've seen it all before, you know? It's not always the real thing.
I love it. There's food on the floor of my car. Yeah, same, sis. I don't even have kids.
And plenty of little Pepsi Max cans in there too.
Oh, always. That's just from me, the bed to the daughter. So, I mean, yeah, look, Instagram isn't all it was cracked up to be, but just curious, based on your current experience, if you were to start from scratch again tomorrow, praise be that that never happens to you because that would be a nightmare. What would be any sneaky hot tips for somebody? Like, what would you be focusing on for protecting your mindset?
Oh, there's so many things. I mean, you do want to make your content really engaging. I mean, the content's changing all the time, so you got to jump on the trends, and I probably haven't for the last few months because I'm just overwhelmed by it all. The TikTok's probably where it's at the moment. I think that that's growing so fast, and if anything, if I was starting on an app, I'd probably go there more than Instagram, and then you'd have Instagram on the side, so I'd probably be going that way, but that's a whole other beast for me. I don't know how to tame that one. But yeah, I'd be going there. I'd be getting on the reels. I'd be getting on the ASMR. I'd be getting on the education, just trying to create little trends. That's how I'd be going about it. And then for your mindset on it, I guess that's the one thing, you know, the numbers don't equate a success, you know, that doesn't mean anything, you know. I think even owning a business now and learning so much with that, you do just realize the behind the scenes is just so wild compared to what you see on the front. And that's the same with Instagram and having followers, you know, or an Instagram, the effort that goes into it and what you think looks so easy to a lot of people. There's just so many hours of hard work and so many stressful moments of, you know, trying to build that up and to build your career up alongside that. So don't despise the small beginnings. That's the whole line I just keep hearing the last few months. And even just looking at what I've learned in the last few years, being patient and don't go buy fake followers. Just they've got to be real, you know?
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing you could do.
It'll absolutely backfire on you. So don't do it.
100%. From my brief days in digital marketing, I can guarantee you that that will ruin your account forever. So don't do
that. Actually will. So don't do it because it's happened to some people and then it's just not worth it. So just keep plugging away, get your content right, find a style, your own style. Also, what I think really makes a difference as a makeup artist, make sure your client's hair is not messy. And that sounds weird, but having...
No, I love that. That's just like a tangible...
You know what I mean? Yeah, like if they've got their hair, just help them out and just give them a little hairspray, you know, just to go that extra mile, just get their hairs all in place. That
you
helps. Know what?
This is so funny that you say that, because I remember watching, you did a Secret Fox class at your house, I think. It was like your studio in your house.
Yeah.
And I remember you talking about the hair afterwards and also like bringing earrings. Like if you were going to do like a model shoot, like bringing different earring styles so like there was something else in that photo like to pop out. It literally blew my mind. I was like, oh yeah, it's a complete picture. It's not just what I did on the face.
It makes such a difference. And those little things just make such a difference to your overall photo. Get a paper backdrop. Get one of those. Everyone asks me where I got it from. You just buy it, just type in paper backdrop, pick a color and have a beautiful backdrop in your studio. And yeah, have a
Keep
theme.
It consistent. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. So we're going to shift the conversation a little bit now, because this is an exciting time for you. This is also an exhausting time for you. I can see
Absolutely.
It in your eyes. Yep. But you've got some really exciting things that are just starting to happen. And the first one, you got so many things on the go, sis. I don't know how you're doing it. But the first one that we're going to talk about is the brush collection. I use them. They're heavenly. I cleaned them today with the brush soap as well. She loved it. I'm not often a water soapy cleaner gal, but I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, I need like 1,000 of them to put in my kit, because I'm just going to keep those for myself.
I know, they're nice.
They're beautiful. So talk me through it. When did you know that you wanted to create brushes?
It's funny, I was working on the course before that, and then as I was writing the course, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be good to, you know, create some brushes to go along with the course? So then I went down that road and I just started looking. I found a really great supplier. They supplied a lot of really wonderful brands, and it just kind of happened. I had originally started out where I was like, I'll just do like 5 brushes, and then 12 pieces later. And yeah, like I think there were so many different samples. I wanted to test all the hair qualities and that sort of thing. And I went through so many different samples and I was like, no, it's not the right one. I wanted really soft ones. It didn't feel scratchy on the skin. Even when I've done like girls' makeup, models' makeup, sometimes brushes that I use on my face, not the ones that I use, but you know, other ones have felt really scratchy and they poke them. So I was like, I want that experience to be really lovely. So yeah, it was really important to me to have really soft and beautiful brushes that felt really nice.
I'm curious, and it was a friend of mine, Lou from Lululips, who actually pointed it out to me, that everything down to the finest detail was impeccable. It was exquisite. Like Aww. Even to the point of like the brush set, in case you guys haven't seen it, is in like a little beautiful kind of faux leather case. And like the handle for the zip has got the logo in it. The logo's embossed in it. It's amazing to me that you'd never done a product before and everything was like that spot on. Like,
oh, that!
How did you do it? Like,
oh, it was okay. Let me just tell you, in the bags, there's the material lining.
Mm-hmm.
That took months to get right. Okay, because it's down to the millimeter, and I would get a sample, and I have my PR manager. Her name's Carmen, one of my bestest friends, and she's been working with me for years, but she's been a godsend through this whole thing. She's creating her own brand as well. So we've been both like creating brands at the same time. So it's been really good because we've had each other to bounce off. And she's been like the person along with me. And I'd always be like, I just don't think this right. And she'd be like, no, it's not. So there was a point maybe 8 months ago where I got a bag sample. I was like, yeah, this will do, you know, and then something in me was like, no, it's not right. And I knew that that delay would be months. And then at that point, I only had the cream in the works. I was like, no, I need a brown. And that point, the whole bag's completely different. It was the same kind of shape, but the whole material, the inside, the zipper, everything changed. Cause I was like, I just nutted out all those little things. And yeah, it was an absolute punish. And I feel so bad to my supplier, like, because I was like, it's just not right.
Can we get like one more thing?
Can we just redo the little zipper logo, please. They were fantastic. I think although I just wanted to create a product that felt like I'd put the effort in, and I had.
Oh, well, I mean, look, coming from complete outsiders to somebody who's used it, definitely. Like everything, yeah, like the scent of the brush soap cleaner, everything. It's just all so on point. Like it's not surprising because we know how smart you are, but it's surprising for like a first time brand that's like your second business to be so on point. Thanks, do you know what I mean? It's like you'd think that that's like, you know, the rare beauties of the world where there's like a bit of cash behind it. You know what I mean? Like it's not as easy as people think to create this stuff.
That's a hard thing because I was like, all those little details, they cost so much more. But I was like, even just with like the color of the copper part, that was a customized color. But it was really important to me, again, to have like some brushes that can look really pretty on your countertop, you know? So yeah.
You kind of like based the whole campaign around that idea that it was like that beautiful, like vanity vibe.
Yeah. Originally it was like when we organized the shoot, my sister, she was so great. She's a photographer and she's also the brain. She's just so creative as well. And we had come up with a concept, but then it was the week out from the shoot. I was like, oh, I think a cool vanity would be really cool, like with crystal and like beautiful light. So then like that week I was also filming the course. Oh. I had done 6 days of filming and then we were shooting on the Saturday. So I was up shooting till 12 o'clock that night before. Then I was shooting the next day for the campaign. So I was getting Rob to run around. We picked up that vanity on Gumtree, all the crystal on Gumtree.
Oh my God.
It was like that week was like the biggest week of my whole life. But yeah, it turned out beautiful. So
yeah, I mean, looking at the campaign, you would never think that it was kind of like thrown together in a couple of days. It's so nice. Oh. So, and like the videos of all of it. I think there was also a really funny video. And this is what I love about you. You're like never afraid to take the piss. There was like a really funny video of you like holding the brush, like looking through the, eating the arm. And then there's like holding the brush. It's just like, yeah, it's just nice, I think, sometimes to bring it like back down to earth. But obviously all of that was really gorgeous. So you're a makeup artist who you obviously get sent like product, like you did a PR unboxing today, stuff like that. Has it been funny experiencing people unbox your product and then use it like that? Like how's that felt?
Really weird. And I think going through this whole experience, I almost feel so bad that I haven't put the effort in for brands in the past. You know, the amount of effort that brands do put in to send this beautiful package, and I've been slack in the past. It's been a real kind of like slap in the face to be like, you know, people are pouring their heart and soul into this, like, because that's how literally how I feel. So yeah, it's given me a whole new appreciation for how I also want to post brands that give me things and to really show it off, because especially for small business, even just to post something costs so much, just to send that product.
Like the actual parcel, like to send.
Yeah, just the parcel alone.
Yeah.
You know, just to, you know, and potentially you might not make any money from that and that's fine and it's all good, but it's just like, yeah, it's made me really appreciate just the amount of work that goes into it. And I do remember someone saying having a business is like having a baby, and I've had a baby. And I was like, you haven't had a baby, obviously. But I'm like, oh my God, starting a business is actually more stressful than having a baby, I think.
Gonna have to take your word for it, sis.
Mate, once you've done a business, a baby's a walk in the park, honestly. So,
oh, well, that's nice news for my potential future husband that doesn't exist. Well, I'm just going to ask because I'm nosy. It comes in a whole set and it's volume one. So I'm curious, is there volume two? Is that planned or did you just call it that because it sounds
good? I was spitballing the names with my sister and I was like, oh, what do I call it? Like brush collection, you know, like, I don't know. I love even like beautiful books and, you know, you'll have your volume one collection or like even like my favorite CDs or, you know, like all your old school music. Like I love old school music and it's always like volume one of a jazz CD. And I thought it just left it open in case, you know, maybe I do a volume two, who knows? I would love to bring out some different color cases potentially. I love those bag cases. I think they're genius. So yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
I've got mine drying at the moment because I'm taking them down to go to a wedding on the weekend. I'm doing makeup and then I've got to do my own face. It's like, low-key, just going to use those brushes on myself.
I created them really because like they're good for makeup artists, but I wanted them to be for the individual, especially like that case, I think, you know.
So handy, and it literally has every brush you would need to be able to do your own face really beautifully.
Yeah.
Perfect. Also specifically loved the liner brush. And I knew that I would because you always do liner so well, but it was very good.
It's got to be thin and it's got to be synthetic, that little hair. So, yeah.
I took a video actually using it and then I didn't end up posting the video because I was like, oh, I think the video is shit. But I got nervous like doing it because I was like, I want it to be great. And then even in the video, you could see it's like perfect. Like, and I'm like, it's a brush, liner. Baby, because it sure as shit ain't me.
It's a good brush. It's a good brush. That's
good. And so let's talk about it because we've alluded to it many, many, many times. So you had one baby, that's the brushes. And then there's the other baby, which is really, I think, like the true labor of love, which is the tutorial, the course.
Yes.
So this is your education platform. By the time this podcast goes live, I think everyone will be able to have access to it. They have access to it now.
They have access to, they have
parts as of
January 12th, they'll have access to the second module and I'm releasing them in increments. So that's they'll right. be released every 2 weeks. There's 5 modules all up. So, yeah, I wanted
Module one will be out now.
That's out now. They can view that.
So I would just love to hear it, I suppose, in your own words. I've watched the trailer. If you guys haven't watched the trailer, I thought the trailer itself was lit. So I'm like, well, this content's going to be great. What is the tutorial all about? Why did you want to do this?
You know, there's masterclasses out there. Masterclasses are generally for makeup artists. I wanted to do the tutorial for the everyday person at home that wants to nail their own makeup. I don't know many courses that you can do that are just for you, you know, just as the individual on learning how to look at makeup. There's so many tutorials out there, like how to do a bronzy eye, smoky eye, blah, blah, blah. But there's nothing really equipping anyone with the skills to actually learn how to adapt that makeup look to themselves. So you might watch it, but then you go, okay, her eye shape's completely different to mine. So how do I change that up? What's going to suit me? Or her skin tone's way different to mine. Will that color look good on me? So I wanted to create a course that would equip people with those tools. This is not just showing you one look and how to recreate it. I'm really breaking it down to the core things that you really need to know and how you need to look at makeup. So for example, if you don't understand your skin undertone, it's going to make makeup really difficult because you won't know what blush colors to choose. Eyeshadow colors are going to look most natural, your foundation colors, concealer colors, all those sorts of things. So I break down color theory. We break down textures. So why you would choose a texture for your skin type or, you know, why you'd choose a particular foundation coverage, all those sorts of things. So it's to equip you with that makeup knowledge so that you can then go and create a look rather than just copy one. You can actually create something from the bottom up rather than just trying to emulate something that you've seen, if that makes sense. Mm.
Yeah, it definitely does. Because I think when you create something from scratch, you can only do that when you have the confidence in
exactly
the foundational things. Like even something as simple as knowing, okay, well, I know how to do a black eyeliner, right? Well, if I wanted to go bold one day and do it with blue, it's like you'd have to know how to do that original thing first and what color is going to look amazing against my hazel eyes, et cetera, et cetera. So it makes perfect sense.
I'm really excited specifically with the color undertones, like the undertones of your skin. I think that because I was researching so much, because obviously I know all this stuff, but it was like once I put pen to paper, I was like, how do I actually like explain this to people, you know, and to really understand the difference between warm skin, cool skin, neutral skin. But a lot of the times people don't realize there's a fourth skin undertone, which is olive. It's a completely different category. I'll have people sit down on my channel. They always get given a neutral foundation and it's like, it's way too pink because neutral is more of a pinky kind of based foundation because it's equally cool and equally warm, but it's more of a peachy undertone. Whereas Some neutral tones will have more of a yellow base because on the color wheel, it's where your yellow meets green and blue. So that's more of that sort of olivey undertone. So I think that was the biggest thing that I saw, is that it's just so confusing out there. And that part, I think if you unlock the colors, that is just going to open up your whole world to makeup, because you'll look at colors in a completely different way. I think that's the biggest thing, is so many people have blushes in their drawers, foundations in their drawers that are just sitting there collecting dust because they bought it because someone else they saw had it. When they put it on, it looks like rubbish. It doesn't feel nice, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I think if you understand those things, you're not going to waste money on makeup. You're going to go into a makeup store and be just super confident about your makeup choices. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, I personally, as an artist, I've taken a really active interest in my own education. Like, I was all about the Secret Box. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. I do lots of in-person masterclasses, like pre-lockdown in Melbourne, obviously, whenever I could, like, go to all of those. It's interesting to me because this is for the everyday woman, but this is also for, I think, artists can watch all of the modules and have so much to learn. That's what I'm really looking forward to. I don't think that you can ever learn enough. So I'm just curious to know, like, your perspective on, I suppose, the landscape of education for artists at the moment. Like, we can do all of this stuff online now. We can learn from people we admire from all over the world. Like, how do you compare something like the tutorial for an aspiring artist who might be looking at this course compared to, like, a diploma in real, like in real life, IRL?
Yeah. First of all, because I have gone through a makeup course myself, so I know what's in these courses. I mean, the one thing that I found is it doesn't equip you with the skills to really identify those different skin undertones, because even like I said before, there's four major skin undertones, but skin undertones are spectrum. So that's where I think we need to understand that not everyone fits into one little box. And everything's got to be customized to that person. And so it's getting an eye for everything. And I have got hundreds and hundreds of pages that are going into this course. So you'll have written content in here where I've got examples of even hair color, like natural hair color to look for. That's a dead giveaway to what their undertone is. So I think personally, I think that this course is going to be really great for the individual. But as a makeup artist, I wish that I knew a lot of this stuff when I was younger, because I think that it's really important to understand the difference between skin tone and skin undertone. And that's where I think a lot of makeup artists don't quite understand that. We think, you know, someone's fair, they get a fair foundation, but then they put the foundation on, it looks too blue, it looks too pink, you know, or it looks too yellow. Same with the deepest skin tones. You'll see a deeper skin tone, you just chuck a deep skin foundation on, and it's, again, it's not the right undertone, because you're looking for, you know, red tones, blue tones, golden tones. There's all those sort of different undertones. So it's really important to get an eye for someone's undertone, you know, more than we know their tone. It's very easy to pick a tone to that visual color, whether we're light, medium, dark, you know, deep, but the skin undertone's the hardest part. And as a makeup artist, if you can understand that, your makeup application is going to, down to everything, your eye highlight choices, your bronzer choices, your eyeshadow choices are all going to be so much.
And also the way that you're delivering the modules as well. So we kind of touched on it before, there will be kind of release, like a staggered release. But yes. There's a Facebook group, like a closed Facebook group as well.
There's a community page. So I'm using a platform called Thinkific, which is, they host heaps of online courses. And I chose that one because there's community page on there. So you can connect with other makeup artists and it or other people that are doing the course. And that's the thing, I wanted to stagger it because I don't want people to skip ahead, because I don't want them to go, I just watched the base part, I don't understand this bit. And I'm like, but did you watch the color theory? And they're like, oh no. So it's, I think it's important, if you understand color theory, then you can go to your base and that helps you choose a foundation, because you've ticked out the color that you need to choose. Now you got to choose the texture and you got to choose the coverage. So I've tried to break it down so it takes you on a journey. So we're understanding everything from the bottom up, not just here's a foundation that you should choose. I want you to be able to choose a foundation for yourself and to have fun with your makeup, you know?
Yeah.
That, allows you to kind of play with makeup and understand why certain textures and colors look good on you. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, it's only really just become accessible to get module one, like in the last few days. So by the time this goes live, it'll be about a week or so. It's just going to be phenomenal, I guess, to start hearing the feedback that comes through even over the next couple of months. And I'm really excited to get to do it because I know I'm going to learn a lot. Like even like some of the color theory you're just talking about, that I'm having that like beautiful mind moment where I'm like seeing like the chalk on the blackboard. I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, I don't take myself very seriously. So there's 20 hours of content there. And it's spaced out over 50 videos. There are so many videos in here. And I probably repeat myself a bit. But the thing is that I'm like, repetition always helps, you know. So I draw back a lot of imagery. There's a lot of written content. So I know for me, it was important to deliver a lot of this stuff visually as well as written because I like to see it and then I like to read it. So I've tried to make it so that there's no way that you can't get it.
And, you know, adults learn in very, very different ways. I mean, I know for me, like when I've ever done, you know, a masterclass or whatnot, I will watch it. I'll like take like a billion notes, like everything I must know. And then as soon as I possibly can, whether it's my sister, my friend, a model I'm paying, I got to get them there. I got to like sit them down and do it. So if it's for somebody who's just learning to do makeup on themselves, it's for them to sit down and have a play and see what they can apply, which is just so exciting. Because we know as artists how liberating it is to see people feel empowered by their faces being done. And so to give them that power, like the amount of girlfriends that I have who I'm not even that close to and I'll get messages from and they'll be like, oh, hi, like I've got this event. Like, what do you think? Well, like they're not sure. They don't really feel confident. It's like, I just wish that I was always free to like do your makeup for these things, you know? And that's going to be so nice to see that come through.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. It's been an absolute labor of love. Like, and so many times, especially with this course, I wanted to just chuck in the towel. I was like, I just can't do this anymore. I didn't even see an end to it. I was like, I don't know how this is going to even come out because just trying to like figure out how to take people on a journey was like the hardest part. But I think now I've worked with incredible videographer guy and director and they've been so great and they've gotten my personality too. So they've added heaps of funny moments in there. But yeah, I'm just excited to see people be equipped with the skills to just be confident about their makeup choices, I think, and not to be a deer in the headlights, you know, when they walk into a makeup shop and stop spending money that they don't need to spend, stop wasting product, you know, stop buying a palette and not using it, you know, but using things because they make sense, you know?
Yeah. So good. We're almost come to the end of our chat, but one last question before we do a this or that. This is really a platform now, and I would just love to give you the space to kind of share your wisdom, your late night wisdom. We're recording late at night. But I just want to know, like with everything that you know now and all the experience that you've had working for a huge brand for a long time, being a freelance artist, you know, banging out so many weddings a year, doing shoots. What is one piece of advice you would give to somebody who is starting out day one tomorrow? They want to be a makeup artist. Like, what is something you would say to them?
It's easier said than done, but you can't compare to other people. You just can't. It is easier said than done. But I think sometimes that means that you have to mute some makeup artists or other people that you find make you doubt yourself. Like I've done that and other makeup artists, we all tell each other that we do. We respect each other because I'm like, oh, I've got you muted, but we love each other. Like they're some of my friends. The only reason why we do is just for self-preservation and to stay on track and to not be jealous. Then that way, when we catch up, we actually talk about, you know, what we're doing and there's support, but it's not just going, oh, I didn't get that job. Like how annoying or blah, blah, blah. Sometimes if you have to do that just to kind of, you know, stop yourself from having bad thoughts about someone else or having bad thoughts about yourself, sometimes that's okay to press mute, you know, to press mute on if there's some brands that you just feel like you're comparing your work to some of those big makeup artists, they share all the makeup artists, and sometimes you're feeling like, oh, a bit creatively stunted. Sometimes it's okay to put it on mute just so that you can be inspired by something other than other people's work. Sometimes you want to get outside and you want to look at nature and be inspired by those things. I remember hearing it. There's this one movie director, when I was talking to the guy that's helped me do my course, he says he doesn't watch any movies as a director. He doesn't watch anyone else's movies. He'll read some books and then he'll get outside and he'll get into nature and he'll do all sorts of different creative things and be inspired by those things. So he's keeping himself preserved and just keeping his creative juices flowing from within, if that makes sense. So, and I really like that. Even with my friends, we've muted each other. I'm like, oh, you know, because we're just honest about it. It's like, then you unmute when you're back to having a little bit of a moment, you know. It's just about being real and just going, okay, no, I'm all good now. But if you need to press mute, it's okay. You know, if you need to switch off social media, it's okay. That's my biggest thing, I think, that you've got to stay in your own lane.
Loved it. That was so good. That's a no, really, sincerely, that's a really great piece of advice. I've heard people talk about that in terms of like on a personal level. If there are people in your life who you can't really unfollow for whatever reason, just mute them, like just get them out of your physical space. But from a creative and professional level, that's so interesting to me. Stop trying to keep up and compare, you know, with what's going on around you. It's like, just be yourself. And if that means you got to mute people, you got to mute people for a little while. It doesn't mean you
unmute
them.
They don't even need to know. Yeah. It's not a malicious thing. It's not a malicious thing.
What's that TikTok thing? Nobody needs to know.
But that's it. You can still go in and go and like watch everything that they're doing later on. But it just means that, you know, don't trigger yourself into feeling like you're not good enough in that moment. If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. And it's okay. And then just unmute when you're ready. So it's not, it's not a big deal.
The mute button is your best friend, mate. All right, let's do it. We're going to play a quick game of Would You Rather. I have put more effort into this today.
I love it. I love it.
Because you do a good this or that on your Instagram every so often. And I was like trying to think of like some of the ones. I was like, oh, I want to do some like disaster ones, but I couldn't really think of anything. So anyway, I've got a few. Are you ready?
Hit me.
Never wear bronzer again or never wear mascara again.
Oh, man. Can I wear contour?
I guess. No, it's a bit cheeky. Yeah, all right, you can.
Then I would go without bronzer. But let's just say no contour. I'd still go without contour and bronzer. Mascara, it's a must.
Wow. It's a must. I'm really surprised because I just know you like live and die by bronzer. So
I'd find a real peachy blush.
All right, that's a good loophole. All right, this one. Always get stuck in traffic or always have a really slow internet connection.
Man, both rage me. Both get me raging. Traffic, podcasts, can always listen to a podcast.
Love. Last one. Would you rather have your makeup brushes magically clean themselves or never have to travel more than 5 minutes to any job?
Magically cleaned brushes.
Yeah. Someone's got to invent that.
I don't mind. I drive all the time. I don't mind my drives. That's my peace out. That's my Tennille time. So I don't mind it.
But peace out, Tennille time.
Yeah. If someone could clean my brushes, that would be an absolute dream.
Wait, what if somebody hits you up in the DMs and says, hey, I'll assist you, I'll just clean your brushes all day?
Come on round. The only problem that I'm having now that I've got a brush collection, now I'm tempted to just be like, oh, I'll just bring out a new set. I can't be bothered cleaning, so but I have to stop. I've stopped because I'm like, I can't. That's I don't want to take any more out of my inventory. Yeah, I'm like, no. But, yeah, that's only been my biggest temptation now that I have brushes there.
I can absolutely relate to that. Sometimes I'm like doing my own makeup and I've got all my own like personal dirty brushes in front of me, and then I just see like my kit like in the corner of my eye and I'm
You're like, no, stay away.
It's just not quite right. We can't do it. All right, my love. Thank you so, so, so much for giving up your evening to chat to me. It's been awesome.
You're
the best. I can't wait to do the tutorial and give you my feedback, but it's just going to be amazing. You're killing it. Keep being you.
There's some Saint Jack in there. There's plenty of Saint Jack. Not because I was trying to plug it. It's because it's needed in every kit. Okay. Personally. And
that's going to be, that's going to be the snippet that I put on every billboard around Australia. Tamil J said it. So it's true. Absolute legend. So thank you so much, mate.
Thank you so much, Dahl. You're amazing.
So I'm going to let you in on a little secret in case you couldn't tell. And we absolutely alluded to this in the episode, but we recorded that pretty late on a Thursday night. We had so many technical difficulties. It wasn't funny. It ended up taking us hours to get that chat done. And it also happened to be that we scheduled it like the day after Tanil had launched her course. I had had like some of the biggest weeks in like my career and my personal life that I have had like on record in the longest time. And we were both just like, oh my God, we've got to get through this. But also I just had the best time with her. And it's like, you know what? Some of that was some real silly goose times, but hopefully some really valuable insights for you guys as well. I definitely took a lot away from that. Number two things. That doesn't make sense. Two things, my favorite two things from the chat. Number one, do you want to assist an artist like Tanil? Yes. Be assertive, take initiative, and be persistent. Don't be afraid to keep asking for the opportunity that you want. As Michael Scott says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. As I would say, the worst they can do is say no, and you move on to the next one. Number two, we've talked about this on the podcast several times before, so we love a recurring theme, right? But make of your Instagram what you want to make out of your career. For example, if you want to educate and run makeup workshops one day, start educating for free on your stories, reels, feed posts, whatever, for free. If you want to do more content creation for brands in the future, for money, start buying that product yourself and making the content as if you were being paid to refine and also show off your skills. That's going to let brands know, that's going to let potential students know, whatever it is, that that's what you're about. If your Instagram is confused, the people who arrive on your profile will probably be confused as well. Well, that's me for the day done. I think you guys can pick up on this kind of like December hectic energy, but regardless, that whole thing is a real pinch me moment. I love Tanil, like not just her work, but her vibe is so cool. She's so much fun. Like I said in the podcast, she's not afraid to take the piss. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I really look forward to listening back to that episode anytime I need a little pick me up. But anyway, you know what I'm going to say, in accordance with Victorian state law, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people get the show into their earballs. And while we will have another amazing episode hitting your ears in the next 2 weeks or so, you can follow me in the meantime on Instagram. That's at BethWilson_MUA. And the brand is at By St. Jack. That's BY St. Jack. And of course, do not forget that if you are listening to this prior to December 23rd, that you can go in the running for an amazing giveaway with small Australian female-founded beauty businesses. We are lumping together like $1,300 worth of amazing stuff for your kit, for your personal beauty bag to say thank you for being you and supporting us. You can find out how to win by visiting my Instagram feed. Love you guys. See you on the next one.